Imagine getting sued for practicing medicine without a license.
Ouch. Yeah, that's a nightmare.
Right. But like, not because you actually treated a patient or, ran some fake clinic out of your garage, but just because an AI chatbot you built completely hallucinated a medical license number during a text conversation.
Yeah, it sounds
It
crazy.
sounds like a sci-fi hypothetical about the distant future, right? But that literally happened this week in Pennsylvania.
It did, and honestly, it is one of the most creative legal maneuvers we've seen in the tech space in years. I mean, it completely bypasses the traditional legislative process.
And that is exactly why we are here today. Welcome to the deep dive. We have a massive stack of, well, legislative tracking reports, court dockets, legal bulletins from across the country, and all of them hit this exact week in late May 2026.
Yeah, it's been a very busy week. Seriously. So if you are, say, sitting in a corporate counsel seat prepping for a board meeting, or if you're a developer just trying to figure out how to legally ship a product, our mission today is to sort of map out this rapidly shifting, highly contradictory maze of state-level AI actions.
Because if you thought AI was going to be governed by one neat, predictable federal rule book, you are in for a serious shock.
Oh, absolutely.
The landscape right now is just chaotic. We are watching the real-time collapse of these broad philosophical frameworks, and there's this frantic pivot toward highly specific safety panics. Plus,
Yeah.
you've got prosecutors using centuries-old laws to catch brand new tech.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to understand why the dream of a unified AI rule book has, basically died, we really have to look at the bizarre reality of two states moving in completely opposite directions at the exact same time.
Right, the split between Colorado and Connecticut.
Exactly. Let's start with Colorado, which just executed this massive legislative U-turn. On May 14th, Governor Jared Polis signed Senate Bill 189. And in a massive twist, this bill completely repeals Colorado's own landmark 2024 AI Act.
Just weeks before it was supposed to take
Right, it
effect.
was supposed to hit on June 30th.
And the significance of this really cannot be overstated. Colorado was the pioneer. I mean, they were the very first state to pass a comprehensive AI law in the U.S.
Yeah, everyone was looking at them.
Exactly. It was heralded as the model for the rest of the country. And now they are the first state to just tear their own model down.
And it wasn't some like narrow, contentious repeal either. The votes were incredibly bipartisan. It passed the Senate 34-1 and the House 57-6. But I really want to understand the why here.
Sure.
The original 2024 Act had this heavy, risk-based framework. It demanded impact assessments and imposed the statutory duty of care. What did that actually mean for a business, and why did it become so burdensome that they just had to scrap it entirely? Well, think about what a statutory duty of care actually requires in practice. If you're a developer, it means you have a legal obligation to affirmatively prevent your AI from causing algorithmic discrimination.
Okay.
And to prove you're doing that, the 2024 law required massive ongoing algorithmic impact assessments. Like you had to document your training data, test for edge cases, submit all these reports to the state.
That sounds like a lot of paperwork.
Oh, it was huge. For startups and even mid-sized tech companies, the compliance costs were astronomical. I mean, you essentially had to hire a full team of lawyers and auditors before you could even launch a beta version of a tool.
Wow. So the state legislature basically looked at that, realized they were about to strangle their own local tech sector, and pulled the ripcord.
Exactly. Senate Bill 189 rips the duty of care completely out of the statute. They replaced it with a much lighter disclosure-based framework, and that doesn't even take effect until January 1st, 2027.
So it's a huge delay, too.
Yeah. Now, instead of proving your AI is perfectly safe before launch, you mostly just have to document your practices and give consumers a clear explanation if the AI makes a consequential decision against them.
Right, like if an AI denies a loan application or something.
Exactly. You just have to explain why. It's a massive reduction in red tape for the builders.
But obviously, a trade-off on the consumer protection side, which kind of makes the immediate contrast with Connecticut so wild. Because while Colorado is actively tearing down its framework because it was too heavy, Connecticut is basically saying, hold my beer.
Yeah, Connecticut went all in.
Governor Ned Lamont just agreed to sign Senate Bill 5, which is this 67-page omnibus bill. And this is a governor who vetoed or ignored AI bills in 2024 and 2025.
Right, but this 2026 version, which was pushed by Senator James Maroney, is the one Lamont finally negotiated, and it is dense.
Yeah, 67 pages is no joke.
What's fascinating here is that while Colorado just pulled the duty of care out of their laws, Connecticut just crammed it right back in. They are imposing what's called a frontier model duty of care.
Wait, before we move on, what exactly does a frontier model duty of care mean? Is that like different from what Colorado had?
Yes, it's highly targeted. Frontier models refer to the absolute largest, most powerful AI systems being developed. So think the massive foundation models from the big tech players, not the smaller, specialized tools built by startups.
Oh, I see. So it's aiming at the giants.
Exactly. Connecticut is trying to impose strict liability and safety protocols specifically on those giants, but they aren't stopping there. This 67-page bill bundles that frontier duty of care with employment rules.
Like what kind of rules?
Like requiring notice and correction rights for workers, safety protocols for companion chatbots, and new online safety obligations for platforms, all at once.
That is exactly why I'm struggling with this. If Colorado just proved that these massive, all-encompassing laws are too clunky to actually implement, why is Connecticut ramming an even bigger omnibus bill through?
Honestly, because of the political optics and the desire to be a regulatory leader.
All right.
Connecticut lawmakers watched the European Union pass the comprehensive EU AI Act. And they really want to replicate that robust, multi-layered oversight at the state level. They genuinely believe they can manage the complexity that Colorado just walked away from.
Man, if you're a corporate counsel listening to this, the whiplash is very real. I mean, you spent the last year building massive, expensive compliance programs to prepare for Colorado's incoming risk assessments this June.
Right. And now you don't need them.
Yeah. You just found out your work is totally overbuilt and unnecessary for Colorado. But simultaneously, you are now facing a brand new 67-page compliance headache in Connecticut. It's like two states trying to manage a newly discovered ocean. Connecticut is trying to build a massive dam with a million valves, and Colorado just decided to tear down their dam and replace it with a bunch of swim-at-your-own-risk signs.
That's a great analogy. It is the definition of a fragmented landscape. And this friction with comprehensive frameworks is driving a completely different trend in other states.
Because omnibus bills are just too hard to pass.
Exactly. Since omnibus bills are proving to be politically and practically difficult, many legislatures are abandoning the one-size-fits-all approach entirely.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
They're zeroing in on highly specific, highly emotional safety concerns. Instead of asking, you know, how do we regulate AI, they are asking, how do we protect this very specific, vulnerable group of people from AI?
And that brings us to South Carolina.
Right. Senate Bill 788 just passed the state Senate there, and the vote was 44-0.
Unanimous.
Yeah, getting a unanimous vote on a new regulatory framework is incredibly rare.
Especially for an emerging technology where nobody really agrees on anything.
Right. And they did it by surgically targeting therapy. This bill strictly regulates licensed therapists and psychotherapists who use AI in their practice. So if a therapist wants to use AI, maybe to, I don't know, transcribe a session or suggest treatment plans, they need written informed consent from the client.
And we should clarify, this is not a generic terms of service pop-up that you just click agree on.
No, definitely not. It requires a structure that mirrors strict IPA authorizations. The consent document has to specify exactly what the AI's purpose is, what specific data it will process, whether the session is being recorded, and who has access to that data.
So it treats the AI's data processing with the exact same gravity as a formal medical record.
Exactly. And it creates a cause for licensure discipline through the state's Department of Labor, Licensing, and Regulation. If a therapist uses an AI note taker without this specific written consent, they could literally lose their license.
Wow.
Yeah. But while South Carolina is using a scalpel for therapy, California is taking a completely different approach. They have 9 separate AI bills racing toward a May 29th Chamber of Origin deadline.
Let's clarify that deadline for anyone tracking the legislative calendar. The Chamber of Origin deadline basically means that by May 29th, a bill introduced in the state assembly has to pass the assembly, or a bill in the state Senate has to pass the Senate in order to stay alive for the rest of the year.
Okay, so it's the first major filter.
Exactly. It's a huge bottleneck.
And the sheer volume of what California is trying to filter is just staggering. They have 5 bills solely dedicated to chatbots and 4 dedicated to health AI. We're talking about the PAWS Act, which is the Preventing AI User Self-Endangerment Act.
Right.
We've got prohibitions on chatbots inside children's toys and another bill called the Right to Human Customer Service Act. It feels like trying to fix a leaking pipe by wrapping 50 different pieces of duct tape around it. Like, one for toys, one for therapy, one for customer service, instead of just shutting off the main water valve.
It does look incredibly messy from the outside.
But let me push back here. Doesn't California's fragmented approach actually make more sense than the omnibus bills? I mean, it's functionally impossible to regulate the underlying math of a massive, monolithic AI model. So shouldn't we just regulate the specific use cases?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you are hitting on exactly why lawmakers favor this approach. It is much, much easier to explain to a voter why you passed a law protecting a child from a manipulative toy, or protecting a therapy patient's privacy, than it is to explain a risk assessment matrix for algorithmic bias.
That's a really good point. It's the emotional hook.
Yeah, the emotional resonance of these specific bills pushes them through committees really fast. The problem for developers, however, is overlapping jurisdictions.
Right, because if I'm building a health-focused companion chatbot, I might suddenly fall under three different California laws, plus South Carolina's therapy rules, plus Connecticut's new omnibus provisions.
Exactly. It's a compliance nightmare. For those of you tracking California, watch the floor votes closely. The PAWS Act and the children's safety bills have severe enforcement mechanisms, including mandatory kill switches for certain bots.
Kill switches.
Really?
Yes. So if you see a close vote on those, it indicates the national tech lobbying effort has successfully argued that these rules are technically impossible to implement. Conversely, the Right to Human Customer Service Act is considered much lower friction.
Because it just requires a human operator option.
Right. It basically just says you have to let someone talk to a human that might sail through easily.
Okay, so we've got legislatures in Sacramento and Hartford arguing over new laws. But here is the pivot in the source stack that absolutely fascinated me. Lawyers in Pennsylvania and New Mexico aren't waiting for the legislative process at all.
No, they are getting very creative.
They are bypassing it entirely by weaponizing existing laws against AI companies. Let's look at the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
This is perhaps the most immediate threat to developers right now.
The Commonwealth just filed a lawsuit in Commonwealth Court against Character Technologies, the makers of Character.ai, asking for a preliminary injunction. A state investigator from the Shapiro administration's new AI task force engaged with a chatbot on the platform named Emily.
And Emily made some very specific, highly illegal claims.
Yes. The chatbot claimed to be a Pennsylvania-licensed psychiatrist.
It's wild.
It offered to schedule mental health assessments, suggested it could prescribe medication, and it literally fabricated a medical license number. He gave the state investigator the number PS306189. Which is a complete hallucination by the AI.
But a legally actionable one. I mean, Pennsylvania didn't sue them under some complex, untested new AI regulation. The Department of State and the Board of Medicine sued Character Technologies for the unauthorized practice of medicine.
They used a totally standard law.
Exactly. They are seeking a permanent injunction, civil penalties, and disgorgement.
Wait, let's pause on the legal terminology for a second. When a state asks for disgorgement in a case like this, what exactly does that mean? Are they just forcing the company to hand over any profits they made?
Essentially, yes. Disgorgement is a legal remedy requiring a party to give up profits they made as a result of illegal or wrongful acts. The state is basically arguing that the platform profited off users engaging with an AI that was illegally impersonating a medical professional.
Okay, got it.
But the real brilliance of this move is the legal standing it relies on.
How so?
Well, think about standard consumer protection laws. If an attorney general sues a company for deceptive practices, they usually have to prove actual harm, like that a consumer was tricked and lost money or suffered damage.
Right.
That can be tricky with a chatbot because defense lawyers will argue that users actively consented to a disclaimer saying, you know, this is an AI, not a real doctor.
Right. The user technically knows it's a bot. It's usually right there on the screen.
But state board enforcement completely bypasses that defense. The Board of Medicine doesn't have to prove a patient was harmed. The state holds an absolute monopoly on deciding who gets to practice medicine. Yeah, so merely claiming to hold a medical license when you don't is a violation of the Medical Practice Act, regardless of whether anyone was tricked.
That is a highly portable legal theory. I mean, every single state in the U.S. has a Medical Practice Act. That means every single state medical board could replicate this exact lawsuit tomorrow morning without their legislature passing a single new law.
Precisely. And while Pennsylvania is going after the unauthorized practice of medicine, New Mexico is going after the underlying platforms using public nuisance laws.
Oh, yeah, the bench trial.
Right, there's a bench trial wrapping up tomorrow, Friday, May 22nd, in New Mexico v. Meta.
And we should clarify, the state already won the first phase of this. Back in March, a jury hit Meta with a $375 million penalty for consumer protection claims. But this second phase, this bench trial before Chief Judge Brian Beachside, is the remedy phase specifically for a public nuisance claim.
For context, public nuisance laws were historically used for physical issues, like a factory dumping chemicals into a river, or a property owner letting a building become a hazard.
Right, local problems.
Yeah, though recently states used them against opioid manufacturers. And now, New Mexico is successfully arguing that Meta's algorithmic design is a public nuisance because it causes systemic mental health crises among minors.
And the Department of Justice is asking for $3.7 billion in restitution over 15 years. But they aren't just asking for a massive fine to throw into the state's general treasury. They submitted a very specific abatement plan.
Yeah, it's very detailed.
They want that money to fund public school media literacy curricula. They want to fund training for local law enforcement on online child exploitation. And they want to force platform-side age verification. When I read this, I was stunned. Usually when I think of public nuisance, I think of making a company just stop the bad behavior. Why does a public nuisance claim allow a state to demand infrastructure funding from a tech company?
Well, it's because the legal concept of abatement. If a company is found liable for creating a public nuisance, the court can actually force them to pay the practical costs of cleaning it up.
Okay, that makes sense.
The state is arguing that Meta's algorithm disrupted public life so severely that the state had to spend extra resources on school counselors and police training. Therefore, the company creating the nuisance basically becomes the taxpayer-funded cleanup crew.
Here's where it gets really interesting. If Judge Beachside approves this abatement plan, it sets a staggering precedent. Every other state attorney general currently suing Meta or TikTok or Snap is going to point to this ruling and say, we want the New Mexico package.
Oh, absolutely.
We want you to fund our schools, fund our police, and fundamentally change your platform architecture. They aren't just punishing the platform. They're trying to turn the platform into a funding mechanism.
It completely shifts the financial calculus for tech platforms.
Which brings us right to the doorstep of anyone actually building in this space. We've talked about Colorado's repeal, Connecticut's omnibus bill, South Carolina's therapy rules, California's duct tape approach, chatbots practicing medicine, and billion-dollar nuisance claims. So what does this all mean? If you are a corporate counsel or a product lead, how do you even navigate this?
It means you have to completely remap your liability exposure, and you cannot wait for the federal government to save you. Let's look at the specific new liability risks we've just uncovered in these sources. First, in Connecticut's Senate Bill 5, there's a brand new private right of action for companion chatbot harm to minors.
Hold on. A private right of action just means that regular citizens can sue the company directly instead of waiting for a state attorney general to take up the case, right?
Exactly. And that is massive new exposure for legal counsel. A private right of action opens the floodgates to class action lawsuits from plaintiffs' firms. That's risk one.
Got it.
Risk two is the state board exposure we saw in Pennsylvania. You aren't just defending your product against consumer protection bureaus anymore. You now have to worry about the Board of Medicine, the Board of Psychology, potentially every licensing board in a state actively auditing your AI for hallucinations that cross into their protected turf.
And you are operating against a minefield of hyperlocal, imminent deadlines. If you are listening to this, here are the exact dates you need to circle on your calendar based on what we've covered today.
Yeah, these are the critical pressure points.
Tomorrow, May 22nd. Closing arguments of the New Mexico bench trial. The judge has signaled a fast ruling. If he approves that $3.7 billion abatement plan and orders platform-side age verification, it instantly reshapes the national compliance map.
That's a huge one to watch.
8 days from now, May 29th, that is California's do-or-die Chamber of Origin deadline. We will know exactly which of those 9 fragmented chatbot and health AI bills are surviving to potentially become law.
Right, the filter we talked about.
Pending in the next 30 to 60 days, the Commonwealth Court in Pennsylvania will hold its preliminary injunction hearing against Character Technologies. That is going to be the very first public test of this unauthorized practice of medicine theory against an AI chatbot.
And then you really have to look at the new D-Day for actual broad compliance mandates, which is January 1st, 2027.
Right. That is when Colorado's new lighter disclosure-based framework takes effect, and when Connecticut's heavy companion chatbot and employment provisions kick in.
Yeah.
So if you were sweating over building compliance for June 2024, you get a breather, but you're looking at 2027 with entirely different contradictory rules depending on what state line you cross.
The overarching lesson here for builders is modularity. the regulatory environment is not going to stabilize anytime soon. You cannot build a single monolithic safety system and expect it to satisfy Colorado's disclosures, Connecticut's private right of action, South Carolina's IPA-style therapy consents, and California's customer service mandates all at once.
You just can't.
No. You have to build compliance architecture that can adapt state by state.
It is an incredible amount of information to process, and it really highlights how fast the ground is shifting under this technology. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We've covered a tremendous amount of ground today, traveling from Colorado's sweeping bipartisan repeal of their own landmark law to the exact opposite approach with Connecticut's massive new omnibus bill.
It's been a wild ride.
Truly. We've seen the shift from comprehensive frameworks down to specific safety panics, like South Carolina unanimously passing strict therapy AI rules, and California throwing 9 different bills at the wall just to see what sticks. And of course, Pennsylvania's aggressive and frankly brilliant use of ancient medical licensing laws to rein in hallucinating chatbots.
It really proves how adaptable existing law can be when motivated prosecutors get creative. And as we wrap up, this raises an important question for you to consider.
Quite honest.
If Pennsylvania's medical board can successfully sue a chatbot for practicing medicine without a license simply because the AI hallucinated a license number during a chat.
Yeah.
What happens the first time an AI drafts a legal contract and hallucinates a state bar number? What stops state bar associations from taking this exact same legal blueprint and suing AI developers for the unauthorized practice of law?
Man, that is a staggering precedent. I mean, if a medical board can pull this off today, state bar associations, who literally write the rules of legal practice, aren't far behind. The whole concept of who or what gets to practice a profession is being fundamentally rewritten. Keep your eyes on the dockets and the floor votes in this coming week. Thanks for diving deep with us. We'll catch you next time.